entrepreneurship, leadership, and free market capitalism. You are listening to Kyle Keegan.
Welcome back to the Kyle Keegan Radio Show, where we are bringing producer-centered radio to your favorite podcasting apps. What is this show about? We are here to bring out the very best in entrepreneurs. We are making way more than a living. We are building things that are bigger than just us and our own efforts, and we are embracing entrepreneurs and the value that they bring to the world. We believe that entrepreneurship is a high calling and an honorable pursuit. Our own efforts are finite, but our businesses can be infinite. The world's resources are available to good leaders, and it is our job to be those good leaders. Having created great wealth means that we created great value, an option chosen above the alternatives by our customers, investors, and employees. Our value creation improves lives. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, not just for listening to the show, but for also improving lives. Thank you for being who you are. If you want to interact with the show, your options are Telegram and the Fastlane Forum, the best entrepreneur forum on the internet. I have removed a lot of the distractions and ridiculousness of social media from my life, and I think a lot of you guys are as well. I've heard a lot of people, a big movement away from the mainstream social medias and a focus more on the stuff that improves our lives. What a great way to be. And I have to say, I don't believe I find my next listeners, my go-getters who are going to listen to, you know, perhaps hours upon hours of this radio show. I don't believe you find that mindlessly scrolling Twitter. I don't believe that you find that mindlessly scrolling Facebook or Instagram. This is an investment of time. And I believe that the best place to find listeners is by giving them a little bit of a sample and then allowing them to see the value in that sample and moving towards my long form material. So instead of all of that crap, I decided to start recording these smaller videos. So I'm pulling these little sections about a minute long out of these great longer episodes, and I'm sharing them on YouTube, which I've always been sharing the show on YouTube for the very few listeners who prefer to do that. Maybe they're listening on a desktop or whatever. I don't know, but I've always posted it there because it was as easy as clicking a button for those folks. Now, if you send them a less than minute clip, it comes out as what's called a short, and the discovery value is incredible. I think it was like 90% of the people who are listening to these quote unquote shorts are new. They're new to the material. They're not currently subscribers to the show. Obviously, you can see the power in that. And then also, I am copying those over to TikTok of all places. I'm not engaging in TikTok. You may want me to follow you. I may if I notice you on there, but it's really more of a discovery medium, and I'm hoping that people see value in the short and come for the long form. So that's cool. That's where we've moved things. You find us on Telegram and the Fastlane Forum. This is not a hustle bro podcast where I want you to follow me all over the internet. You are welcome. If you're getting great value out of the show, please give us your 5-star reviews and also tell your friends. Thank you guys so much for being here and welcome to episode 322. This is the third episode in our leadership series. I don't know how long I'm going to go with this leadership series, but it's so incredibly important and it gets people's heads right for the types of businesses they should go into. Okay. And not just the types of business they should go into, but where to lead the businesses that they are currently in. There's a lot of people who will read all of these books about freeing yourself from the rat race and They will read books about becoming an entrepreneur, and they'll read all of these books. And I don't know how they somehow, from those great books and these great materials that explain the virtues of entrepreneurship, not only for you, but for others, and value creation on a massive scale, they determine somehow that they need to, instead of starting a real business, become like some kind of one-for-one freelancer. And that is not what I believe the point of a lot of these various books and a lot of this material encouraging people to become entrepreneurs is all about. I think it's incredibly important for people to understand that the power in entrepreneurship comes from leadership, and leadership is the vessel that creates your scale. Okay, a lot of people will say, well, the internet's a vessel for scale. Yeah, the internet is, but there is only 24 hours in your day. If it is just you, you will hit a ceiling. There's no more left after you hit that ceiling. You have no more of yourself to pour into your business or give to your business. What is the solution to that? When you're totally out of it, you have no more to give. Well, that's why I always say a business can be an infinite being, right? You are a finite being. You only have that 24 hours, and you've got to sleep at some point. But a business can be infinite. And the way the business is infinite is it has the power of scale, and it brings in the power of others. Okay, so if you can employ the power of other people working in your name, that is absolutely where the power of entrepreneurship and scale and all of that comes from, is hours and value created in your name, because you're in charge of the project. You're not in charge of every little bit of value that comes out of the project. You're in charge of the whole thing and directing all of that value to come out of the market. And I love that. It's incredibly important to understand the distinction between being a true entrepreneur, a business person, somebody who is willing to lead and not hamstring themselves and say, I don't want employees because they're a pain. No, it's incredibly important to say, I'm open to whatever I can possibly do to make this business be as large and as influential as possible. So this is part three of our leadership series. And the first part was the power of leadership, kind of explaining to you what I just said, right? Why is leadership so powerful? Why you need to put some eggs in that basket? And why you're really hamstringing yourself if you don't. And then we went on to a trait of leadership, a trait of a leader. Leaders inspire. What are they doing in order to get their project from just a little spark, a little idea in your head, to across a finish line? And this may be an idea that requires an incredible amount of talent that goes way far beyond what you have available in your own head, right? And be able to put that together. You are the maestro of the orchestra, and you make sure that all of the instruments play together in a coherent way that comes together and sounds wonderful. So we talked about that. We had some of that. We had that Steve Jobs analogy. You play the orchestra instead of playing an instrument. I think that is probably the best analogy for leadership there possibly can be for the inspiration side of things, because any one of those individual elements of an orchestra could be off on their own making their own music. And yeah, it could sound good. Right? It could be a very enjoyable experience to hear one person play a trumpet, for instance. And yeah, they could do a great job. But once you put that trumpet in an orchestra with all kinds of different other instruments and balancing different tones from different places and different areas of the orchestra, you have what can only be described as incredible, right? Such a greater production, such a more amazing production than just a one-off guy with a trumpet. And that's the difference. You are taking the skills of others as a leader who is inspiring to others, and you are inspiring them to a common goal. instead of you being off alone, hey, come over here and we're going to do something even more incredible. You'll be a part of something much, much bigger than you that creates something incredible. And that is your inspiration. Come aboard over here instead of flailing out there by yourself. And you are then an inspiration. Now, here's the deal. Who do you lead? This is not a be a good boss series. I called it leadership for a reason. I could have called it the be a good boss series. It's not about being a good boss. You're not necessarily the boss of all of the people that you lead. It's not about employees. It's partially about employees, but it's not totally about employees. Who do you lead? You lead investors to see promise in you. You lead investors to see that there is an opportunity cost of not going with you, right? That you are their best option. They've got to deploy their money somewhere in order to be a good investor, and you are the bet that they want to make. That's leadership. You had to lead them there. There are people who you may call employees, but they're more of like the founders group, right? So the group of folks who are going to get compensated not just by a payment, but also by some stock and a share in the opportunity as time goes on. You've got to inspire those people because you may need some serious talent, some talent that you can't afford as a startup. But if you offer an opportunity beyond just that pay that they would typically expect, they may be willing to come on board for less, being also compensated by being a part of something bigger with great future opportunity for them. So those are some interesting ways that you lead. You can also lead your customers. So let's say you're going after very, very large customers, inspiring those customers to understand that what you are offering is incredibly valuable to them. And you are competing most of the time with the status quo. Whatever they are currently doing, well, it's just not working. But you got to lead them away from the status quo and over to you. So you're also leading customers, especially in a deal-making type of situation. And then there are also partnerships. You might want to partner with other companies in order to increase your capability about what you offer. That was the initial move of one of my companies that I currently run, is finding a partner with immense capabilities that is willing to partner with me on a repurposing of something that they produce. That was a leadership situation. I had to go in there and explain, look, you guys currently don't capture this market, but this market is available to you if you do it the right way. Now, I have access to all of these types of customers, and that's why I saw this opportunity and you guys didn't. Maybe there is opportunity in order for us to partner up, right? But I'm going to expect a discount. I'm not going to just be a customer of you guys. I'm going to be a partner. We're going to work together in order to be able to serve this market at a level of an actual producer, not just a middleman. And what did that get me? Well, I was a couple man operation and I'm able to talk like a billion-dollar company because I have a billion-dollar company in my back pocket doing my bidding, right? They're doing what I need them to do in order to capture the market as a partner, right? They are me, I am them with regards to this market that we are serving. That was leadership. That was a company that was birthed out of nothing other than leadership, sitting in front of them and saying, this is how we should go about this. If that doesn't explain to you or show you the power of this, I don't know what will. But it isn't just employees. It can be any number of things. Leadership creates that opportunity, that scale, right? That ability to say yes to ridiculous size contracts, even though it's not really you, and it's not really your company. Well, it is because you've made that partnership, but it isn't because you didn't invest in it, right? You've got no investment in any of this stuff, but it can work for you. Why? Because you're a good leader. Anyway, as you can see, I am very passionate about this. If you guys are listening to my show, you guys know that I am very much someone who wants you guys all to take on being a leader. So a new trait of a leader. We're going to go to the next one now. A new trait of the leader is a leader looks into the future. It isn't all about today. I have seen so many quotes and this is because I'm on an entrepreneur forum, of new entrepreneurs that are on there and saying, man, I'm just beating my head against the wall. Nothing ever goes right. And I have 3 weeks of time that I have socked into this business, and it is not going my way. And as you can tell by the fact that I can't even keep the laughter in, the 3 weeks was my problem. These people expect this stuff to happen overnight. It does not. I repeat, does not happen overnight. If you think it can even happen in a time frame, like you've got some kind of giant project and you're like, well, it might take a year. Well, expect it to take 3. I'm not kidding. It always takes longer than you expect it to take. And if your horizon is only 3 weeks and you're already frustrated and banging your head against the wall, you need to reset your clock, right? You need to look well out into the future. So there is a concept about reaping what you sow. Have you ever heard of that? Well, you reap what you sow. You know, you brought it on yourself. That's always when people use that. Oh, they, you know, they've been doing stupid stuff for however long, so it's no surprise there that they ended up, you know, screwing this up. That is also a phrase, in my opinion, that can be used in business because you reap what you sow. It's a farmer thing, right? They sow seeds. They plant things in the ground, but they don't just plant things, right? They don't just say, I got some seeds, let's go plant them. No, they actually prepare the ground, right? They prepare the hell out of that ground. They grind it all up. They make sure it's got nutrients. They get it all moist and all of this kind of stuff because if they just plant the seeds, they're going to die or not produce very well. So there is a season in farming where you have to work very hard for no gain. All right, let me repeat that. There is a season where you have to work very hard for no gain. There are people, and I have heard, and I'm thinking of one specific person right now, and I remember hearing them say, right, after they applied for several different jobs, and they went to one of them who was very heavily based on commission, okay? And actually, it was fully commission. It was a commission only job. And they said, well, after a couple weeks of doing that, I have to say, I want to get paid for showing up. I'm spending 3 weeks of time and I haven't gotten paid at all, right? Well, it's about the value you produce, not the time you spend. So having a long-term view, a person like that could have done a lot better if they were willing to make the sacrifice and sow that ground for no gain. In the beginning, a farmer understands this extremely well, right? They're planting seeds. They cannot expect to eat or sell that crop until it's ready. It takes months for that to come up, and they have to keep working for no gain until one day they have a harvest. Okay, they get to harvest all of their stuff, and they get to take that to market, and they get to eat from it, and it's bountiful, right? But it required the early sacrifice of time for no pay. There are a lot of people who will refuse to do anything for no pay. Don't be one of those people. Look at that time that you spend working on your business, not getting paid, as an investment in your future. That is what the leaders do, and that is what establishes them as the leader. Okay? You don't just show up one day and boom, you're a leader. No. You did that groundwork. You were the person who sowed into that. You made that investment and made that sacrifice in your project. And finally, when it did come up, you were elevated to a leadership position because it all came together. There is a perfect example on the Fastlane forum of a guy who I got the pleasure of meeting at the Fastlane Forum Summit who was working hard with his head in his work at the time of the summit. This was back in 2020, February of 2020, right before all of the BS started happening. Okay. And he had his head in his work. And he didn't know the future. You know, he didn't know what was going to come. The future was still uncertain for him. But he had been working very diligently on a project that had a very grand scale and a grand appeal. Okay, it happens to be something that I don't really perfectly understand, but I believe it is like a graphics generation for, you know, maybe video games and, you know, special effects and movies and stuff like that. It was very cool, very techy, something I don't really understand, but I know that he had his head in his work and he was working very hard on that. And since then, right, he was in a sowing season at the time. And since then, he has really been in a season of harvest. He's gotten to grow this company. He's gotten to employ people. I saw just yesterday he was showing that some of his employees were buying their dream cars and how good that made him feel as a producer that he was able to help them achieve those dreams of theirs, right? But he wasn't established as a leader during the sowing process. He wasn't when he was planting his seeds, when he was preparing his work for the later harvest. He became the leader once that harvest came. So you guys are investing in that harvest and anticipating that harvest to come and doing everything you can to have a good harvest. And that is what we are observing with him. And I'm just so like incredibly thankful to be able to watch what he is posting there. That is very, very cool what he has been able to do. This is also a fallacy that comes out a lot in our circles, okay? MJ DeMarco likes to call it the 5-year, 10-year, or 2-year, I forget, the 5-year overnight success story, okay? I forget exactly the amount of years, but essentially alluding to the fact that this person put in all of these years sowing that seed, making sure that what they were doing would eventually yield them a wonderful harvest. And then harvest day comes, and boom, that business does very, very well. And many would then call that an overnight success story. Well, they were a loser, you know, 3 weeks ago, and now they're multi-millionaire. Like, no, that doesn't just happen, right? People don't just become multi-millionaires without laying the groundwork. Okay, so while the world may look at somebody in a sowing season as a loser or as somebody who hasn't been able to get it together and all of that kind of stuff, the true leaders are the ones that take that and shoulder that and say, even though this may look like crap for a little while and this may be a struggle for a little while, I don't care, right? I don't care because I am the leader. I'm out in front. I don't care what other people think of me. And I am going to embrace this season of sowing into my future, and then I eventually reap the unbelievably great reward. To everyone's dismay, because everyone then thinks it was a bunch of luck, right? Oh, it's an overnight success story. No, it wasn't. It might have been a 5-year overnight success story. It might have been a 10-year overnight success story. A lot of things might have led up to that moment of a wonderful harvest after they have sown all of those seeds. So a leader does not shy away from the sowing seasons. A leader understands that this must be gone through in order to build a solid foundation for later. Bottom line, folks, this doesn't happen by accident. You don't just become the CEO of a medium-sized company making $64 million. You don't just become the CEO of that by working a job and going to work every day for somebody else. You don't just become the owner and CEO and entrepreneur behind the scenes of that kind of company. And I think it's so funny that so many people think this is luck, right? Oh, they just stumbled into that. And that's, you know, that was for them. And this is for me. And entrepreneurship is for people like them. And entrepreneurship isn't for people like me. And the reality is, it didn't happen by accident, okay? You finding the job that you found and residing there for 20 years, well, that may have been all an accident that came together and did that for you. But there is an intentionality behind the building that goes into anything worthwhile, okay? There was intentionality behind all of the greats. Every company that was started that became a great and influential and valuable company in history had an intentionality behind it that was in a season of suckage, okay? A season that was not fun for that proprietor. And almost every book that you can read, a biography about a business great, you know, I usually like to say about the first third of the book talks about the struggles that they had to endure in order to build what they built. What was that? That was the sowing season of a leader, somebody who had to shrug off what the world expected of them and instead expected what they needed out of themselves. Because that's all that matters. You know what you're going for. You have an intentionality behind your efforts and what you are working towards, even though it may not look like it to the outside world, adds up to something later. And who cares, right? The outside world will see it later, but I don't care if they see it or not, right? And that's what brings me to my next point. A leader doesn't need to take credit for everything. Okay, I've started several businesses in my life that required skills that I didn't have. All right, am I going to go around and act as though that I have that skill, even though I don't have it? No, I'm going to make sure my organization has that skill. And when that skill is used to create a boatload of value, I'm not going to say that was because of my great leadership. Look at Elon Musk. Could Elon Musk launch a rocket into space without very, very skilled people on his team working towards a common goal? No. The answer is no. He's not a rocket scientist, but he's also not somebody who can assemble the rocket. There's more to rockets going into space than just the science. There's a lot of engineering. There's a lot of other stuff. You have to put all of it together in order to launch that rocket into space. Now, does Elon Musk go around saying, it was all me? No. He doesn't have to. The world knows he's the maestro of the orchestra here. And there's a lot of people that are involved that this wouldn't happen without them, right? That orchestra sounding that way wouldn't happen without that certain trumpet player being as awesome at being a trumpet player as they are. The world knows this. He doesn't need to go around collecting his credit. And the people who do want to go around and collect credit for things are generally people that aren't producing anyway, right? These are the takers, right? There's that Adam Grant book where they talk about givers and takers and traitors, right? And that's being a taker in life. That's being someone who most people can see through it. And that's never going to be a good leadership. You're not a good, inspiring person if you take the credit from the people that you're attempting to lead. So, you know, I'm reminded of the Cars movie. Right, where in the first movie, and these are hilarious. I love these. My son loves these. They have Lightning McQueen, the hot rod, big city race car, who is a rookie season, and he's just beating everybody, and he's firing his crew chief and all of this kind of stuff, and he doesn't care about teams. I work alone, you know? And then, like, he goes off, and he learns that he had his priorities wrong, and that teamwork creates a better result. You know, like, that is an important lesson. I love that. That's teaching kids a good lesson. And those are good movies anyway, even if you're not a kid. Anyway, he starts the movies off like a terrible leader. He leads his people like absolute crap. He loves to take credit for everything. And instead, later he becomes a good leader. He's got a great crew, and the crew helps him be even better than he was before. So it was a good lesson. You know, they're simple. They're Disney movies, whatever. But it's a lesson in taking credit, right? You don't need the credit. You own the company, right? The credit goes into your bank account. So at the end of the day, the world will give you the credit anyway, but you don't have to go around taking it from other people, right? Applaud their work, right? That's part of being inspiring. Being able to say, you did an amazing job on this, and I couldn't have done it without you, because it's the truth. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. If you could do it without them, why wouldn't you? Right? So give credit where credit is due. Leaders do not steal credit from others. And I hate when people do that kind of stuff. It's so gross. Anyway, leaders, finally, for today, and I'm going to have more stuff for you in the future, but leaders deal with the obstacles. Okay? If not the leader, who is going to deal with the obstacles, right? We've gone over how somebody would be in a sowing season and shouldering the responsibility of that sowing season, whether it's just a season of lack, a season of not doing as well as you could have been doing, if you did something else, understanding that there is an opportunity cost to the effort that you're putting in and shouldering that. It sometimes is a massive crushing thing. I've dealt with it. I'm an entrepreneur. This is the season of sowing instead of the season of sucking, right? But also, the leader has to be willing to shoulder the obstacles as well. Let me explain something to you. If you haven't started a business yet, you need to expect obstacles. Okay, just expect them to happen. You're just not going to have a smooth sailing start to your business. You are going to have things that pop up that you did not expect. And I always think that that's kind of the fallacy with these people who have these enormous and overly detailed business plans when they haven't even done one thing to start the business. You know the type, right? These people who have a 20-page business plan and they'll have financial projections into the next decade. And it's like, how did you come up with this, right? To me, a 10-page business plan about how everything is going to work for the next 10 years is a lie, right? It's not just a plan. It is a bold-faced lie. Because there is absolutely no way you know that it's going to unfold that way. And if you showed up to my office and I happened to be the angel investor and, you know, potentially fielding some offers here, I'd laugh at that. How do you know any of this, right? The key is you have to start, right? So I look at it like this, and I've used this analogy before, but it's been a while. There's a hallway, and at the end of the hallway, you can turn left or you can turn right. Right? But the walls are opaque. You can't see which direction that you need to turn, but there's going to be a turn. We know that there is going to be a turn, right? But what do you have to do in order to be able to see which direction to go? You've got to walk, right? So you have to walk down that hallway and get to the end so that you can peer around the corner and see, well, this is the direction I would really rather go instead of this direction. So you can choose. I'm going to go right. Or I'm going to go left here. And I hate to break it to you folks, but business is that times 1,000, right? You're going to have hallways and you've got to walk. So that walk is a little bit of a leap of faith. Maybe it is that sowing season, that sucky part where you have to just walk and know that when you get to that corner, you're going to see which way to go. But you've got to get there first. And business is that 1,000 times over. So having this 10-year plan, that would have theoretically happened 1,000 times. So you are guessing the turn that you are going to make 1,000 times in a row in order to put on this fake financial projections for 10 years thing that so many of these people do with these business plans. Now, granted, have business plans, put together great presentations to raise money, but show them their expectations when they put their money with you and show them why they can have those expectations. And the stronger support that you can build for those expectations being true, the more reasonable it is for them to say, hey, I'm going to give you some money. It's as simple as that, right? Build a case. You're a lawyer, right? Build a case that you are a good bet. And that's being a good leader again. So anyway, today we'll wrap this show up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to name this episode that the leader has to shoulder things, right? I'm going to come up with a better way to say that. The leader has to shoulder things. And then the leader doesn't necessarily need to be taking credit for all of it either, okay? The leader gives credit where credit is due, okay? So they shoulder the hard stuff. They put together the business. The business comes together and they reap the rewards anyway because the credit goes to your bank account. Anyway, being a good leader, some traits of a good leader. We shoulder a lot, ladies and gentlemen, but don't shy away from the shouldering of what leadership requires. I thank you guys for joining and being a part of our movement up the charts. Connect with the show on Telegram. Join the progress thread on thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. Entrepreneurs like you build the future. Have a fantastic rest of your day and stay tuned for our next episode. Until next time. Keep building amazing things.